Welcome to Raising Well-Nourished Kids, your go-to parenting podcast for everyday strategies to help you raise emotionally resilient, happy, food-loving kids.
Hi, I'm Georgia Harding, a naturopath, founder of the Well-Nourished Family Membership, and proud mum of two thriving teenagers.
And I'm Jane Faulkner, a practicing psychotherapist, the founder of Equine Assisted Therapy Australia, and also a mum of two beautiful, busy kiddos.
Join us every week as we share practical tips to set your kids up for healthier eating habits, body positivity, and a lifelong love of whole foods. Let's dive in.
Hey, so today we're here to talk about why family meals matter so much.
Yes.
So much. Yeah. Yes. If there's one thing that is essential to ensure that your kids develop a healthy relationship with both food and everyone in the family unit,
totally.
It's eating together for as many meals as possible together as a family.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Bonding over food, sharing experiences and delicious meals is so critical.
Yeah.
It teaches social skills, builds family relationships, and supports your kids to develop a healthy relationship with food. Sharing mealtimes with your children will positively impact on all of your eating experiences and can dramatically improve the health of your whole family.
Yeah, because children who eat as many meals as possible, you know, and as circumstances allow, we're not saying that every single meal has to be eaten together as a family, but as many as possible are definitely more open to trying new foods. We know that. Research has supported that as well.
Yeah.
And to developing this healthy relationship with food that we all kind of seek.
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
Well, as humans, we're wired for connection.
Yes.
And if you go back through our ancestors, we connect over food.
Absolutely.
We have big celebrations over food. We care for one another over food.
Mm.
And a Harvard study confirmed that children having dinner with their family most days were also more likely to consume more fruits and veggies and to generally have a higher intake of nutrients.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. Another study proposed that sharing just 3 meals a week reduced the odds of children becoming overweight adults by 12%.
Wow.
Yeah, so the health benefits extend way beyond the physical. Dining together as a family is often the time we socialize and we converse. It's the time you can check in, like, how are you? We can share stories. So it's the time when if you are concerned about one of your kids or your partner, you know, you can kind of share your experiences just that. And
attunement.
Yeah, that we've spoken about before, that in our busy lives today, we just don't get enough of. Mm. So eating together is so important.
Yeah, and it's amazing how I know my kids often marvel, but we get so much out of our dining experience together. Mm. And my kids often marvel when they go to another family's house and they're like, oh, that, like, we just ate, just the two of us. They just can't believe that that's that they got to do that almost.
Yeah.
For them it's a bit of a treat, but
yeah totally. So when we eat together, it's not only are we like checking in and conversing, but as parents we get to kind of model and demonstrate healthy eating, social values, table manners, the art of conversation. It sounds so simple and almost old-fashioned and a bit fuddy-duddy, but man, it is so important. Like if you think of if you're out with a friend and they don't have table manners, or if I know for me as a parent, when my kids brought friends over that didn't have table manners, I remember how that really impacted me, you know, like it's manners and waiting your turn and letting someone talk and then you talk. And
like you even said before, the art of conversation.
Yes.
You know, I know probably you've just triggered a memory where I had a teacher when my son was really little in kindy say to me, oh, we can tell that Jesse's a child who's been spoken with, not spoken to. And I think it stuck with me because at the time I was thinking, oh, my God, I was kind of doubting my parenting skills.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, you know, it's dinner. it's dinner time. Mm. Like, I'm not like an overly, believe it or not, like a chatty, chatty, chatty mm. kind of person. I yeah. wasn't someone that was constantly talking to my kids.
Yeah.
But at dinner, we'd have conversations about world events, about,
yeah.
you know, the things that were going on in their lives, things mm. that were going on, you know, between my husband and I. We would mm. just talk. Yes. We would talk about the food we were eating. We were talking about pets, whatever. We just talked.
Yes.
And like you said, it seems old-fashioned, but it's so profound.
It's huge. Mm. And I just heard a podcast the other day, and I can't remember who it was, but they were talking about how they're concerned that we're losing the art of mm. conversation. Mm. And especially our kids that are just always on a screen device, yep. are losing the art of just having conversations.
Yeah, you can see how that
can happen. Totally. Mm. And how they're preferring text because it's more predictable than
mm.
talking to someone.
Absolutely.
So yeah. this is, I feel, becoming more and more mm. important.
Mm. I can remember confiscating my son's phone once and him saying, but how am I going to know what's going on with the party? Mm. You know, you had a birthday party or something mm. coming up. And I said to him, well, just ask everyone at school tomorrow.
Mm.
You can't do that.
Mm.
It's all being discussed on the phone. I'm mm. thinking, wow.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
So does that make it off limits at school for you to have a discussion about it? I just found that the most. But as I said, we haven't been raised with this technology, yes. so we probably are old and fuddy-duddy, to be honest.
So true. So true.
But, you know, I know there's – I've even read studies that have confirmed that sharing meals through the teen years
mm.
actually reduces the likelihood of development of eating disorders and mm. depression, as well as actually children being less likely to smoke and drink alcohol and try illicit drugs. So yeah. again, such a simple thing.
Yes.
But the ongoing profound effects of it is just phenomenal, really.
Totally.
Blows my mind every time I read a new study on this topic.
Yeah. yeah. Well, you think of living with teenagers mm. and if you don't have that meal together, you when cannot see totally. Them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And I know kids
that and that's foundational though, isn't it? Because like you can't just start having meals together when they're teenagers. Yes. It's what they're used to.
Yes.
You know, it's just something we do as a family.
Yes.
And we only do it because we did it when they were little.
Yes. Yeah. So true.
Yeah.
I think of the teen clients I have and how they really want to be seen
mm.
and attuned to. And like there's a desperate need for it, even yep. though they resist it and
yes.
push back and mm. seem like they don't want us around.
Yep.
Like it's a really important time to yep. be spending time with them. And dinner provides that opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But something really important when we're eating with our kids is they watch us.
Mm.
They watch how we respond to food. They watch how we respond to each other.
Mm.
So they kind of, kids do what we do, not what we say.
Absolutely. So, 100%.
So dinner's a really great opportunity to kind of teach your kids healthy eating habits.
Yes.
Something that's really important and has crept into so many families
yep.
is devices. So
distractions all around, isn't it?
Yeah,
television.
Yes.
And when we're talking about little ones, it can be toys as well.
Yes.
Even, but any form of distractions. But 100%, the biggest distraction these days does seem to be the
device. Even as the parent, mm. right? Like we're kind of, oh, the device means our work and
totally. Our lives dictated by these things sometimes.
Definitely.
Especially when you said you work and you're connected to technology by your profession.
Yes, exactly. But not having devices at the table, like mm. it's 20, 30 minutes yep. a family meal. And we were both watching Simon Sinek talk about mm. the power of the mobile phone.
Mm.
And, you know, like when if you're with someone and you put the phone on the table, you're kind of sending a signal to that person that they're not as important
mm.
as the other relationships through the phone.
Yeah.
And so it's something to really think about. Mm. I heard someone else again yesterday on a podcast, and sorry, I cannot remember who, but they were talking about what is in our phones.
Yeah.
And what's in our phones is all this content,
yeah.
you know, like newspapers worth and movies and access to all this entertainment. that our brain is just really drawn to, you know, all this dopamine hits coming out of the phone.
Right, the center.
And so that when we're sitting with somebody, they know what that phone means to our brain as well.
Yes.
You know, so it is absolutely this thing that sucks us both away from each other.
Yes. And it's not enough to have the phone on the table but put it face down. The same message is still being construed, isn't it?
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah. And I'm guilty of it. I've sat down before at dinner or, you know, gone out for dinner or whatever and or in a meeting and I put my phone on the table, but I think I'll put it face down, like that's more respectful almost. But the pull is still there. The distraction is absolutely still there.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think just moving away from devices, and we won't harp on about that because it is a touchy subject for a lot of people. You know, making sure that your kids are hungry heading into dinner is another really important strategy to ensure that, you know, family meals kind of run relatively smoothly. If they've been given snack after snack, and particularly snacks late in the day, and they have that appetite, then dinner and sitting down with you as a family is just not going to be as appealing. And you'll find that they'll fuss twice as much. They'll be way, way more picky. So my personal general rule when my kids were little and even now that they're older and I see my son like opening the fridge just as I'm serving out dinner is that there are no snacks for, you know, a good couple of hours before meal times. Look, I'm less strict and diligent with this now that they pretty much eat whatever I kind of serve to them. But when there have been fussy phases or picky phases that we've been through, because that 100% happens, like pickiness kind of is something that can come and go. I've really drilled down on that snacking of not allowing them to snack for a good couple of hours. And, you know, if they're moaning and they're getting to that kind of hangry stage, which isn't ideal either, I will generally give them something off the chopping board or a little taster of something that I'm kind of preparing. And, you know, like if they balk it, I don't know, if I'm cutting up carrots and I give them a piece of carrot and they're like, oh, I'm not going to eat that. Well, they're obviously not that hungry.
Yeah.
Is my thoughts on that. But yeah, just making sure that they actually do have an appetite when they head to the table is just so, so important.
I remember this being something really important when you and I first met ages ago, and Eva was little and she would snack and then not have that big protein meal.
Yeah.
And it was like an aha moment for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, far out. She's snack because she's getting home from school and snacking and then not having that good bit of protein and then waking up cranky.
Yes. We've had a similar situation where we're actually on a holiday and our friends had taken a lot of snacks for the kids because their kids were big snackers. So she took, you know, half a suitcase full of snacks and things like rice cakes and stuff like that. So she'd be doling them out all afternoon and my kids weren't used to the snacking in between meals. So come mealtime, they were just sitting there like, you know, all the kids were fussing, all of them. And it was a really difficult situation because, I knew why they were fussing, but I knew that they were also very like that was part of their process was to eat snacks. So, you know, I just had to have a quiet word with my kids that the snacks were off limit for them in that situation. So, it's, again, like anything, you live and you learn, don't you?
Boundaries.
Yep, it is. It's boundaries, which I think is a great next point.
Yes, I agree. And I know for me, boundaries have been a massive challenge. And
I really think for everyone, boundaries are a challenge. I really, really do.
Because I feel like as we're talking, I do feel old-fashioned. Like these things we're talking about, you know, table manners and but I realize like now my kids are 19 and 17, this stuff's really important.
Yes.
You know, like it's such a strong foundation.
Yeah. And boundaries, I know the one thing that I learned from you when I felt mean, like, you know, when we first met, our kids were young and I used to think we talk about boundaries and it actually relieved me a lot for you to say to me once that, you know, boundaries make kids feel safe and secure in the within the relationship because at the time I was feeling like the big bad witch of the West, instilling these boundaries and having these boundaries within our family unit. Yeah. And, you know, my kids constantly, especially my daughter, was big at pushing back. You know, she's tenacious, strong-willed child. And I felt that, yeah, and I can remember thinking, okay, well, this really helped me to make me really solid on boundaries was that.
Yeah, yeah.
That the safety aspect. So maybe if you explain that.
Yeah, totally. So one of my teachers, Cornelia Elbrecht, used to talk about if there's no boundaries, there's chaos inside.
Yes.
People feel anxious.
Yeah.
When there's boundaries, people know where they stand, they can relax inside.
Yeah.
And our kids are the same. You know, when there's when we are clear on their on the expectations and we kind of communicate that to our kids, everyone knows where they stand. Mm. Kids will push up against them to check, like, how much do you mean that? Can I rely on you? Will you hold me? There's so much that a kid is doing when they're pushing up against you.
Yeah.
And you might not notice that kids push more when you're stressed. They pushed more when things are a little bit chaotic because they're testing, like, how solid are you? Am I safe with you? You know, is this okay? So boundaries are just so important. And I guess something that really helped me with boundaries was me getting really clear.
Yeah.
Okay, what do I want? So what do I want at dinner time? I want... And I guess I went back to my childhood. In my childhood, we all sat down at the table. And
no one was getting up and down and that yo-yoing.
Yeah.
I worked as a nanny for a period of my life, as I know you did as well. Yes. And the one thing that I was very firm on was, you know, because I was one of a string of nannies, the kids had no boundaries around food whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I was extremely pedantic around that, and it was difficult because they were used to just up and down, running around the table, not sitting to eat.
Yeah, yeah. So you getting really familiar and clear
on your own family boundaries.
Exactly. Mm. And how you want it to be so that mealtimes can be enjoyable.
Mm.
So you can get to the gold of how was your day and checking in.
Because otherwise they can become quite...
not enjoyable,
disruptive, and just no one stressful. Looks forward to 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's okay, I guess, as a parent, because I needed this when I was a young parent.
Yes.
I needed to know it's okay to set boundaries, and they will flip out and push against. That's what they're wired to do.
But and that's normal.
Yes, it doesn't mean the boundaries are wrong.
Yes,
or that you don't do it. It means that you just stay clear. Why am I setting this boundary? I'm setting this boundary because I want their life to be easier. Mm. I want their relationships to be easier. I want them to have good health. That's why we set boundaries.
Yes.
We're not trying to be the wicked witch.
Yes.
We are wanting the best for them. And that helped me as a young parent to remember, why am I doing this? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's for good outcomes for them.
Yeah. Mm. And now we have the benefit of hindsight.
Yes.
And, you know, I have one adult child. Yes. You have an adult child.
Do.
We both have an adult child. And they both, we were talking before how we've had conversations with them where they actually are appreciative of the fact that we set these boundaries in their lives. And that's really validating because at the time when you're in the trenches with young kids, it doesn't feel that way at all.
It doesn't. It's difficult.
So I think finally I would just like to say just really try as hard as you can not to stress or bring any negative emotion to the dinner table.
Mm.
You know, particularly I can understand when kids push back or don't want to eat what you've made.
Mm.
This seems to be a massive stressor for parents. And I mean, you know, look, it's the purpose behind this podcast in some ways is to try and help to support you through this. And, you know, it is, again, something that we're going to go into great detail because there is no magic wand. There's no wonderful one cure for this.
Yes.
There's lots of little things that you can incorporate into your day-to-day life, like having a boundary around what you expect at the dinner table.
Mm.
But, you know, we do understand how frustrating it is to deal with fussy eating, but the way that you deal with fussy eating will either perpetuate it all work towards resolving it. And again, that's why we're here. That's exactly why we're here.
And it's so much more than eating.
Yes.
That you are supporting and resolving.
Yeah.
You know, like so much more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So just try to share at least, you know, one meal or dinner with your family, your whole family.
Mm.
And, you know, when your kids are really little, this might, like if they're very, very young and you've got a partner coming home later in the evening and you want to be able to eat with them, I generally recommend to have like a little mini meal with your child, because that's super, super important to have, to role model, like we said before, role model eating, and then have, you know, your main meal. But at some point your child is going to be old enough to push out, hopefully, to when you can all together eat as a family. And look, it doesn't have to be dinner. It can be breakfast.
I was just going to say, even weekends, if it's breaky,
you know, weekends are a great option as well, to connect and to sit and share a meal. And
and you'll find that the more you do share meals with your kids, the less issues you have around food.
Yeah,
you know, as long as you're not making.
Yes, you're not bringing that emotion, that negativity and emotion. You know, look, you can't expect fuss pots to come around immediately, but I do believe that with persistence, with this one particular thing of just eating together as a family, they will eventually find the same pleasure in eating healthy food as you do.
I reckon too.
Cool. That's it. Thanks for being here. Yes. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Raising Well-Nourished Kids podcast.
If you'd like to learn more about raising happy, emotionally resilient, food-loving kids, check out the Well-Nourished Kids program or follow us at Well-Nourished Kids on Instagram.
And if you've enjoyed what you've heard today, we'd really love it if you could take a moment to leave a review, subscribe, and share with a few friends.
Remember, it takes a village, and we're here to support you on your parenting journey.
We'll catch you next time.